ever felt like you're living a double life? One side is all hustle, building your business, your career, chasing success. But on the other hand, there's a nagging voice asking, is there something more? I'm Paul Ryan. I'm an entrepreneur, business owner, and investor, and I know this struggle all too well. But I've also delved into the realms of meditation and self-exploration for almost four decades, seeking that elusive balance between outer success and inner peace. So join me on this journey as we bridge the gap between ambition and fulfillment, uncovering insights from those who've mastered the delicate art of harmonizing prosperity with profound contentment. This is not just another podcast. It's your roadmap to unlocking the true essence of success. Welcome to episode 22 of The Inner Entrepreneur. Let's jump right in. Welcome to the show. So today, we'll continue exploring 12 simple ideas that have the power to change your life. Simple ideas, but very powerful. So today, the simple idea is to never speak or act in anger. And this is a really big one, and it's powerful, but it isn't easy. I'm talking about the chaos, the mess you can create in your life when you lose your temper, when you lose control, and when anger takes over. And when this happens, we shift from the executive function in our brain into making emotional decisions. And the results almost never lead to good outcomes. They tend to create more problems than we started out with. We have a mind, and we need to learn to use it, not lose it, when we need it most. Now, I'm no doctor, I'm not a psychiatrist, but I have spent decades in business dealing with the challenges and problems that turn up every day. While also having a daily meditation practice for almost 40 years. And so what I'm talking about here is personal experience. This is what I've lived and these are the lessons I've learned. Many years ago in a meditation retreat in India, my teacher said that everything that begins in anger ends in suffering. Now I'd never quite heard it put that way, but I knew it was true. And we all know from our experience that when we lose our temper, when we act and behave in anger, that it doesn't lead to good outcomes. We all have experienced this. And it's true that anger has destroyed people's lives. Some people have spent their entire lives in a prison cell because they've acted in one moment of anger and lived the rest of their lives to regret it. Thankfully, nothing at that level of seriousness has ever happened to me, but I've done many stupid things that I've regretted when I've spoken or acted in anger. Mostly, my anger was business related. And in my early years, I was aggressive, demanding in business. And if I'm honest, I probably wasn't the most pleasant person to be around and to work with. I'm not sure where it started, but somewhere along the way, I began to use anger as a tool. I saw it as a strength. And when Angry Paul came out, I knew I was strong. I felt like I could tackle any situation. It made me feel confident. It made me feel superior and probably a little arrogant. I mean, when I was in this state, you didn't want to mess with me because I would put you in your place. And I lived with that person for a while. And I'm not quite sure when self-awareness finally dawned. And when I woke up and I realized that, you know, I don't much like this guy. I don't like how I behave. I don't like how I speak to others. And I don't like how it feels to be in angry mode. So I became very aware that it didn't feel good to be angry. And as my emotions got hotter, my thinking brain, that executive function that we all need, well, it retreated. And anger, it just wasn't a good emotional state if I wanted to be effective, if I wanted to be wise, if I wanted to have good relationships, if I wanted to be successful, if I wanted to run a good business. Because when I was angry, like most people, I just didn't make good decisions. I didn't make good choices. And when you make bad decisions, and when you make bad choices, guess what? That leads to very poor outcomes. But something else I realized is that nobody responds well to anger and aggression. If you want a positive response from others and you want a positive outcome in a situation, bringing your anger in is not a way to get their support and cooperation. If ultimately you want people to do what you want them to do, Anger is a very poor tool. It's a very poor choice. Because people feel pretty shitty when you're angry at them. They don't respond well. And as a result, they probably just get angry right back at you. Now, a situation that might have been sensibly resolved, you might have found a reasonable compromise. It just becomes a war, a bigger conflict, because anger throws fuel on the flames. And in my experience, this almost always leads to the situation deteriorating, getting worse instead of getting resolved. People become more isolated, they become more fixed in their positions instead of seeking compromise and solution. And this brings us right back to India, to my meditation teacher, when he said, everything that begins in anger ends in suffering. And this is exactly what he was talking about. It was becoming very clear to me that my anger was a poor tool. In fact, it was damaging, it was destructive, and you know what? It just wasn't the person that I wanted to be. But still, there was a lot of business situations that I was in where I seemed to need to be aggressive to resolve the situation, where I felt like I needed to stand my ground and not be walked over. And so while I was deciding to no longer use anger, that didn't mean that others wouldn't choose to bring anger. And so what would I do then? I began to wonder, could I still be strong and not be angry? So if I was in a difficult situation, would I be able to stand my ground without being angry? And this was my concern, my fear, I suppose. Because when you're familiar with anger, and by familiar I mean when anger is a behavior you turn to, maybe out of frustration, or just because it's a habit you've learned, well, you'll be aware that it doesn't feel good when you're there. It feels pretty shitty. And you'll know that it causes more problems than it solves. I think it's really useful to recognize this, to look back at situations you've been in where you've probably spoken in haste, spoken in anger, spoken in frustration, and lived to regret it. So once you recognize that and maybe have some unpleasant memories of things that went wrong, well, when you recognize this, you can make a logical decision to change. And so that's what I did. I made a simple pact with myself that I would never speak in anger again. I made a commitment to myself. Now, it wasn't easy, but the commitment was made. Now, just to be clear, I'm not talking about when you're in physically threatening situations where your life is in danger. You could return to a car park this evening and be threatened by someone. Someone could try to rob you or mug you or whatever. And for business, your life is not under threat. You're not in danger, but you're dealing with frustrations of how we operate day to day in business and in life. And so I mentioned that one of my concerns was that others might use anger. So how would I be in that situation? Would I be weak? Would I start losing in these situations and not getting the outcome I wanted because I was the person who wouldn't step up and wouldn't be angry? And so I decided the best way to figure that out was to test it. And what I discovered was when you control your temper, it's actually very, very powerful. You become stoic. You become quiet, you become thoughtful, and let me tell you, you do not look weak, and you do not feel weak. In fact, you look wise, and you feel wise, and it feels good when other people have lost control of themselves, when other people are losing control, and you can speak in a considered, quiet manner. Wow, that's actually scary for people, because they've lost it. And you've held it together. They've lost control of their behavior and their reactions, and you are in control of your behavior, your actions, and what you say. They've drifted into the emotional animal brain, and you are firmly standing in your executive function. I'm going to tell you, you will feel powerful, and to others, you will look powerful. You will look like someone who is calm, in control, and making good decisions. And let me tell you, you only have to do this once to know it's where you want to be and where you need to be. So I tested this. I knew it was absolutely how I was moving forward, that I was no longer going to make decisions in anger, no longer going to speak in anger. This was my decision. This was my commitment, and my practice had begun. Now, that's not to say it wasn't very, very hard, because I know you're thinking maybe of a particular situation where you always get triggered, you always get wound up, and you go, oh, how can I be calm in this situation? And what I'm going to say to you is you need to know this, you need to recognize it, that you will still be triggered. You need to accept this, because you're rewiring your brain, and rewiring your brain takes time and it takes practice. And once you know it will still happen, now you can make another choice. And the choice is, I know I will still be triggered. I know I will still feel like acting, behaving, speaking that way, but I've chosen not to. So you can let the anger rise, but you can choose not to respond to it. So you may see and feel the anger arise in your body. It will feel powerful. It will be difficult to resist. I have been there. But you will know you've made a choice to resist it, because you know the reward will be much better decisions, much better outcomes, and you will feel much better. But the warning is, do not expect this to be easy. Well, not in the beginning. You'll have to work really hard at it. You have to make a commitment, but it will get easier. It will get so much easier. Now, although it will take you a long time to master this, you'll never truly master it, because we will all still have some things that trigger us, but you will master the process of not responding when you're triggered. But the reward will be immediate. And what I mean is, the first time you're in a meeting or in a conversation and you control your frustration, you control your temper, and you don't act, you will begin to feel the reward. And the reward is, you will now be responding instead of reacting. You will be deciding how you behave. You will be deciding what you say. And this leads to much better outcomes and much better reactions from the people you are dealing with. Would you want a leader that is explosive and volatile? Or would you want a leader that is considered, thoughtful, and thinks about what they do and thinks about what they say? Because that's real leadership, and that's what gets results. Expect to leave this podcast and become an expert in this immediately. What I'd like you to do is leave this podcast and commit to practice. If you listen to a 30-minute podcast on the piano, would you expect that you could go out and play Mozart tomorrow? No, you wouldn't. You'd start small, and you would know that if you practice over and over again, you will become much better. So don't be hard on yourself. Realize that this is the same. You're retraining your habits. You're retraining your brain, and you have to start small. So my suggestion is, look for the small everyday situations that wind you up a bit, that would trigger you, and practice here. So become really competent and comfortable with this skill on the small things. So the bus is late, your coffee is delivered cold, you miss your train, you get stuck at a red light. All of these things are your training ground, so that you are ready for when it really matters. You are ready for when you really need the skill. I trained very hard at this, using my force of will to control my anger, holding it like a raging bull. Every time, I was glad I did. I'm not talking about suppressing anger in the long term, because that's not good for you. You're just choosing in that moment not to express it, not to make situations worse for you. But you're conscious of that. You've noticed it, and you can choose to release it later. So how will you do that? Go for a run. Get some exercise. Maybe scream in the shower or scream in the park. And when nobody's around you, let it out. Scream and shout and dance and let it out physically and emotionally, because that's good. Or go and talk to someone who can help you. Or maybe journal. So I want to make sure you realize there's a big difference. I'm talking about, in a very specific situation, you decide to take control of yourself so that you don't make the situation worse for you, and you don't say or do something that you will regret that will lead to further problems. I'm not talking about suppressing your feelings or suppressing your anger. I'm talking about being calm in a very specific situation, but having the self-awareness to then go and deal with that. As I say, go into the park, go up the mountains and scream your head off. Don't do it in the boardroom. Don't do it. You're talking to a member of your family when you know it will just cause chaos in your life. For me, my meditation practice really helped. There have been times when I have sat and meditated for hours and hours before responding, say, to an email or before getting back to someone. Because I knew through meditation how to find calmness. And I knew the difference between being calm and being very angry or being very frustrated. I'm sure you do too. And just think, one state of mind is calm, that makes good decisions. One state of mind is frustrated and angry, that makes bad decisions. So I decided not only would I not act and speak in anger, but I would wait to return to calm before I acted, spoke, or made my decision. And as I say, that often required me to retreat, to meditate, to go and run, to do anything. Journaling was great for that, by the way. I could write page after page, get my thoughts and my emotions out on paper. And once they were out, they were released, and I felt better physically, mentally, emotionally. And calm would return. Usually I'm by myself at this stage. And I've worked through the triggers, and now I'm on the other side of it. And now I can look at the situation with a clear mind. Now I can respond to the challenge and make the situation better, as opposed to emotionally reacting to the situation and making it worse. Guys, this was a game changer. There are so many situations that I've been in that I could have really made a mess, but through using this practice that I got some great outcomes. For some people, this is really, really hard. And maybe you have some trauma in your history, in your life, that I don't have experience of, and maybe that's going to make this more challenging for you. So if that's your situation, if you have some specific trauma that you think needs to be dealt with, then go and get some professional help. The type of practices that I've found really, really helpful, as I say, meditation, mindfulness, because they train you to be calm, but they train you to know where calm is, and you can go there, and you can return there, and you recognize it, and that's where you make decisions from. Exercise, journaling. One of the great ways I have of training my mind is an ice bath. I have one in my garden and I get in there regularly 4 or 5 times a week. Now, when you step into an ice bath, a few things are going on. Your body is screaming, get me out of this. Your mind is screaming, get me out of this. So how do you go in and how do you stay in? Well, I go in and stay in by one, making a decision. I've decided I'm going to get into the ice bath. Usually it's for 3.5 minutes. And once I've decided to, I get into it and then I go to my place of calm. Now, a few things are going on. I've retreated to this place of calm in my mind, and my body and my mind or my thoughts are still fighting with me to get out, but I'm resting in this place of calm. And the more I practice with that, the more I get to a place where I understand the difference and I recognize that my body and my mind can want something different, but I've chosen to remain calm. So that's a very useful practice that I can take to many situations where my body wants one thing and I return to a place of calm and I go, this is what I'm doing now. So by doing that over and over again, I suppose I've rewired my brain and rewired my behavior, and I've become a calm and considered person. Do I still get triggered? Sure, I'm human, but honestly, very, very rarely. And when I do, 99% of the time, I will catch myself. And then I will go and I will reflect. I will search for peace of mind. And I will understand what triggered me and I will work through it. And you know what? It always leads to better outcomes. If this resonates with you, if you get triggered and you find it hard to control your response, then first, make the commitment never to speak, never to act in anger. And second, begin the practice. Those two things are really important. You have to make the decision. You have to make the commitment. But none of that will matter if you don't implement the practice and start practicing small. This practice alone has had a huge impact on my life, particularly my business and professional life. It's a very powerful tool, a very powerful principle, but it's only valuable if you take action and you practice, implement it. And I hope you take the time to do that. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please do subscribe, share on social media, tell your friends about it, or leave a comment. It all helps us grow the show and share our message. Thank you for listening. See you on the next episode of The Inner Entrepreneur. Take care.